Hi, everybody. Before we start the episode, this is a quick technical note for people who listen to the podcast on an application called Stitcher. So, of course, if you're listening to this, you know there are a lot of different podcast distribution apps floating around out there. The big ones being Apple, Google, places like that. But a lot of people listen to the show on an application called Stitcher. It turns out you may or may not have gotten the notification, but the Stitcher application is going to disappear on August 29th, 2023. It's going to go away, right? So if you depend on Stitcher to listen to the Climate Minute, you want to start making plans now. If you listen to the Climate Minute on any other application, you're good to go. No worries. That's because, well, it's convoluted, but we post the show to a website called Podbean, and that Podbean distributes it to the podcast to Apple, which then funnels off, and everyone else, all the other applications, receive the podcast from Apple. Therefore, if you don't use Stitcher, no worries. If you do use Stitcher, you need to get a different application. I'll put up a link to the frequently asked questions file from the Stitcher people. And there you go. Stitcher seems to be pushing the application called Pandora, which is a music streaming app. We have recently posted the Climate Minute to Pandora. So if you take their advice, you can go there and maybe that becomes your new app. I've also personally moved over to something called Good Pods. We'll see how that works for us. For my own personal listening, it turns out that within Stitcher, if you're in Stitcher, you can download a list of all the shows you like and that you listen to, and you might be able to import those to the new application that you choose. Anyway, there you go. Just a heads up. If you listen to the show on Stitcher, you need to find a new app. If you listen to the show on anything else, you don't need to listen to this because you're fine. Okay? So, good luck. Oh, by the way, if you have an application you like and can't find the Climate Minute there, send us an email, podcast@massclimateaction.net, and we'll do our level best to get the show on that app as well. Okay? There you go. You heard it here first. Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source of insight and perspective on global warming news. My name's Ted McIntyre. This show is for the week of July 26th, 2023. Usually I tell you what the parts per million of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is, but now we should probably include things like 2.5 micron particulate matter from the Calgary wildfires and all kinds of stuff like that. Seems like the world is, here in the summer of 2023, things are going sideways in terms of the climate, right? Just to list off some of the things you may have seen. So there's a whole list of biblical plagues that are descending upon the planet. You may not be able to keep track of them, so I tried to pull at least some of them together in one place so you can hear what's going on. Let me just get to my list here. So there's something called the heat dome, which is a new phrase, sort of like bomogenesis and polar vortex. I mean, these are all things that I think have come to us sort of through climate extensions of the weather, extreme weather. But heat domes. So there's something like 4 heat domes around the world at the equator. One is centered over Mexico and the southern U.S., which is what's leading to these extraordinary temperatures in Death Valley, right? You've probably seen something about that. There's another over the North Atlantic, which is giving incredibly warm water. We'll talk about the water off Florida. There is one in southern Europe, a huge heat dome. And of course, that's associated with these incredible fires on the island around the Mediterranean. Right? Greece is on fire. The island of Rhodes is on fire. People are dying in Algeria. And then there's a fourth big heat dome in southern Asia over sort of India and, the southern part of China. Really impressive. All at once. Like, wow, what a coincidence. Huh? That doesn't happen very often. I wonder why that's happening. Well, it turns out that these things are undeniably climate-related. So scientists have some kind of have a way now, because the models are pretty good, they can ask questions like, what's the probability that these four heat domes would all happen at the same time if it weren't for the extra carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, right? And so in a sense, they can take the carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere in the model and see if how likely these four heat domes would be to occur. And it turns out that these heat domes are made 50 times more likely because of the carbon dioxide, right? So these heat domes, all this stuff is climate related. You see it on the news, you hear it daily on the news, these extremes. And you, as a smart climate person, need to start connecting the dots. For example, in the Florida Keys, we have these shocking reports, right, that the water at Key Largo down in Florida was 101.1 degrees Fahrenheit, 5 feet deep in the water on Monday night. Okay, so after dark, 5 feet deep, still 101 degrees. That's pretty impressive. That is killing the manatees, the coral reefs. There's all sorts of stuff going on from that. There's, of course, we have all been subject to the, certainly here in Massachusetts in early June, Boston looked like a dystopian hellscape, right, with particulates, these sort of red, gruesome-looking sunsets, particulates from the Calgary wildfires. There are health dangers associated with that kind of soot pollution. And right now, it's sort of an abatement, but this is going to start happening every year that we get these fires, right? And then all this stuff sweeps down on us. Similarly, in the Mediterranean, they say that 40 people have died in Algeria. They've got a temperature of 111 degrees in Greece. I mean, just all this stuff. And then there's two things that are topping it off. One is that right now in the Antarctic, okay, so this is summertime in the Arctic, right? Now we go to the Antarctic, which is down in the south. It's wintertime there. So in principle, the Antarctic should be freezing. But it turns out that it ain't. The Antarctic, the South Pole, is not freezing up the way it should. And the statistical deviations for this, which is a statistical thing, but it's like, this is the kind of winter at the South Pole that we would expect to see once every 7.5 million years. So the idea that this is just a random one in 7.5 million chance that it's this warm in the Arctic this year, and it's not due to global warming, you would be a fool to take that bet, right? So things are pretty dire. Finally, the other cheery news is that some scientists, of course, this is a subject that's gone round and round for a long time, but some scientists have made a stronger prediction that the Gulf Stream that carries warm water up the east coast of the United States will collapse sometime between now and the end of the century. Could collapse as early as 2025. That's a year and a half from now. What happens when the Gulf Stream collapses? Well, places like England, if you look on our globe, England is pretty far north. And the reason it has the moderate temperature it has, the British Isles, is because the Gulf Stream carries warm water there. If the Gulf Stream shuts down, there's going to be huge temperature variations, sort of reminiscent of the Day After Tomorrow movie, where everything froze, right? Because we're not transporting the heat from the south to the north. It gets colder up there. In any case, it's not a good thing for the Gulf Stream to collapse. And new scientific studies suggest that collapse might be closer than we want to think. So it's all this bad stuff you see on the news all happening at once. And the question is, what do you do about that as a climate activist? Well, it seems like what's happening right now is that the uncertainties in the climate model, the things that we have said might happen by 2100, you know, and everyone says, okay, well, it won't happen until 2100. There's an uncertainty that it might happen earlier, right? There's error in the prediction. It turns out that most of these, error is a bad word, there's uncertainty in the prediction. There's a band of possibilities around any prediction. It turns out that it seems as if things are happening faster, more quickly, sooner, and worse than the models predicted. That's why we have heat domes everywhere. That's why we have fires in Calgary. Things are not going well. All of that is not good news and could lead you to a sense of depression, feeling like, why bother, right? World's going in a terrible place. I can't do anything about it. Well, that's not the attitude we need to have, right? Things are bad, but the truth is that things can get worse, right? That we keep talking about 1.5 degree temperature rise, and we're trying to avoid a 2 degree temperature rise. But the truth is that every tenth of a degree of global temperature rise that we can avoid is a good thing. And the more we keep burning fossil fuels, the more we do, the more that temperature is going to rise. And conversely, if as climate activists we can work and we miss the 1.5 degree centigrade target of, you know, allowing the temperature to rise another 1.5 degrees, but we can keep it to 1.6 degrees, that's better than doing nothing or giving up. So we need to continue the fight all the time, even in the face of adversity. Right? And being in the face of adversity, of course, is where you need to look into your soul and figure out what are you doing. I mean, Churchill, on the eve of the Battle of Britain, right, with the German bombers bombing London, got on the radio and said, "All I can offer you is blood, sweat, and tears," right? Because we don't know what's going to happen, but we all need to be involved in the solution. Favorite quote of mine, you know, as activists, we are a special band of, I think we would say, siblings nowadays, a family. We're a band of people working together. And of course, if you start thinking that way, it's easy to go back to Shakespeare's quote from Henry V. So there's this quote from Shakespeare's play, Henry V, where it's the night before a big battle at a place called Agincourt. I think that's how you pronounce it. Right. And Henry V gives this great speech. He says, Henry V, according to Shakespeare, said, "We few, we happy few, we band of brothers, we band of siblings. For he that sheds his blood with me shall gentle his condition. And gentlemen in England now abed shall think themselves accursed they were not here fighting this battle with us. And they will hold themselves cheap while anyone speaks of those that fought with us today." Right? So we are a knowledgeable group that needs to fight the battle and stay true to our ideas. I mean, the last sort of encouragement in dark moments comes from the Lord of the Rings. Not everyone loves the Lord of the Rings, but for good reason. Lord of the Rings has some weird stuff in it. But there is a scene I recommend to you in which Frodo and Gandalf are in a cave And the bad guy, Gollum, is peering through the dark at them, and Frodo's getting kind of sad because he has to carry the ring, which is quite a burden, blah, blah, blah. But Frodo says, "I wish it need not have happened in my time," said Frodo. That being having to carry the ring up to Mount Doom and all, and make these four terrible movies, right? Anyway, "I wish it did not, wish it need not have happened in my time." But then Gandalf says, "So do I." And Gandalf said, goes on to say, "So do all people who live to see such times, such terrible times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to do," and this is where we are the climate activists, "all we have to do, have to decide, is what to do with the time that is given to us. We are given this awful problem of climate, impending climate catastrophe. But we also have a marvelous opportunity to build a new world and to remake things, because things are going to change. Things will change. And it's our job is to make the whatever comes out on the other side of this better." How do you do that? Well, personal action is good. You can do all, put solar panels on your roof. I recommend you do that. But my plea is that we pull together in community, that we're all in this single boat together. Okay, we need, and as activists, we need to find ways to influence other people to think about the climate issue. I'm not saying, you know, take it up with your crazy Uncle Mike who's had a couple of scotches on Thanksgiving Day. That's not the place to do it, right? But for the people you can talk to, be a resource, be a help, point out that this is a real issue that needs action, right? And you have to do this in your own way. Everyone's got unique capabilities. I guess one of the things I would ask is that you think of the heat domes and the particulates in the air and the collapse of the Gulf Stream and the Antarctic not freezing and say, why does this bother you so much? Just look in the mirror and try to figure out, why is this so important to you? And that, how do you respond to this? What do you, what's your first impulse to do something about it? And then follow that lead, right? If your first impulse is to write a song, write the song. Send it to me. I'll publish it, right? But write a song. If you want to draw a picture, if you, whatever, write a book. I mean, if you want to seek out other people who are like-minded, if you want some reassurance of community, find an activist community. Almost every town has something nowadays. The Massachusetts Climate Action Network is there for you to find ways to take action. And what are we working for? What we're trying to think about is how to address this catastrophe, this ongoing thing, in ways that is, in ways that are human-centered, that take into account all of the people that are here on the planet. And so we want to transition and find solutions to climate change that are equitable, that value all kinds of people, right? And we want to act in community. I mean, for example, MCAN has very interesting efforts talking about things like a zero carbon housing renovation fund, right? That gets very geeky, but what's the idea? The idea is that we know we need to cut carbon pollution. We know people need decent housing. We know that some people can't afford that or have been systematically excluded from having good housing. So a fund that builds clean, affordable, helps people build clean, affordable housing and provides that to people leaves the world a better place. Right? The world with clean energy and more secure housing for people, that's a good solution. It cuts across different problems. It's an opportunity hiding inside this kind of disaster we see. You can think in similar ways about transportation, right? That in job training, I mean, transportation is a equity issue and a climate issue, right? We need job training. We know that there's lots of jobs coming to build these new wind turbines and whatnot. We need to make sure those jobs are equitably distributed. We need to work for energy justice. We need to work for energy democracy. So those are all high-powered words, but they're the kinds of solutions that you can begin to work towards in community with other activists, if that's your thing. If your thing is writing a song, please write a song. Write a poem. Those are good things. Talk to your neighbors. So anyway, please don't be depressed by the weather events we're seeing, but do take those weather events as a urge, as a spark to do something, to take action, to renew your action, renew your commitment. Don't despair. That's important. It's also important that you make sure that if you're listening to us on Stitcher, you find a new podcast application before the end of August and transfer your Climate Minute data into that new app so that you can listen to us after the Stitcher application disappears. Everyone else is okay. If you're listening to this on Google or Apple or anyplace else, you're fine. Stitcher is going away, so you want to be prepared for that. Anyway, chin up, buck up. We have nothing but blood, sweat, and tears, but we're going to make the world a better place. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Very cool.